the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
You're listening to the Early Childhood Leadership Academy podcast at Erickson Institute. Thank you for joining us as we continue the conversation on brain development with Pamela Epley.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Christina.
So during the last sessions, you talked about factors that pose a risk to brain development. Can you talk to us about how those risks can be mitigated? And specifically, what is the role of the early childhood professional in that effort?
I think that is a great question. We talked a lot about development and stress, toxic stress in particular, as having adverse effects on brain development. And while that is absolutely true, I think it's critical to think about what are protective factors, what are factors that help mitigate that. And the biggest one is supportive adults in the child's life. So caregivers, and this includes parents, this includes early childhood professionals who often spend a good deal of time with children if they're in childcare or if they're in center-based or home-based settings. But warmth, responsive, and sensitive caregiving that really helps children deal with stressful situations, helps them tackle the challenges, and then be able to self-regulate and calm themselves back down is the greatest protective factor in altering or stopping some of the negative effects that stress has on brain development.
Great. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the roles of different types of early childhood professionals and how they play a role in this?
That's a good question, and then I'll try to elaborate. I think it depends on the type of environment that the early childhood professional is in and the amount of time and situations in which they're with young children. So there are similarities across early childhood providers. But one of the key things is that for providers that are with children, spending time with them throughout the day, the ability to be able to read their cues, to both verbal cues, but almost more importantly, nonverbal cues. So adults that care for and spend time with children need to be able to see changes in mood, facial gestures, things like a child's muscles tensing up or their arms or their face becoming tense, and be able to see that something's going on with that child and to be able to intervene so that they help the child understand what's going on, help them, support them through the stress, and help them come back to a self-regulated state. I'll try to think of an example. Transitions are often difficult for children, and some children in particular. If they don't understand what's happening during the transition, they don't have a lot of sense of control in the situation, can become very agitated. A teacher or a childcare provider can specifically help this by recognizing the need to explain to the child, maybe to give them some preparation time to prepare for the transition, to understand what's going to happen before, during, and after the transition, so that they don't go into this state of stress, fight or flight, and during those periods, they're not then able to really manage the transition. And that's why you see behaviors like sometimes lashing out, biting, hitting, throwing a little tantrum. But if a child care provider can support the child through that, it's much, much less likely that will happen.
Great. That was really helpful. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you for listening to the Early Childhood Leadership Academy podcast at Erickson Institute. Please join us for part 5, the final episode of this series entitled The Importance of Early Childhood Programs.